Welcome to Geeks of the North, a hobby and gaming podcast in the Dolph of Angus. We're here to paint some miniatures and talk about the hobby, so why don't you sit back, relax, grab a paintbrush, and enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Geeks of the North, your hobby and gaming podcast from the Dolph of Angus. As always, I'm your host, Paul Filio, here with my co-host, the living legend, Antoine Bergeron.
Yeah, I don't know I'm a legend for what, though.
You're a legend for sculpting the Guild Ball at Second Wind. Because I went to a Guild Ball tournament this weekend, and one of the guys I was playing with came in sixth at Second Wind.
Okay.
And he was going on about how fantastic the ball was from Second Wind. And I was like, yeah, I know a guy. And he was very excited.
That wasn't one of the guys that attended the Nationals, so I assume.
No, he couldn't. How do I do it? Color this is. He couldn't make the Nationals last year because he was on deployment in Egypt.
That tends to limit your gaming.
Yeah. And then he was a little disappointed to see when Nationals are going to be this year because he's on course. So he's going to miss it again. So that made him a sad panda.
I'm sure it did.
Super cool guy. Can't remember his name. But I'll be sure to look it up before we do the Guild Ball show. Thank you, Longshanks. Yeah. So, what are you working on tonight?
I'm working on the Pharaoh Brigand Valkyrie. Not the Valkyrie. The Brigand Warlord Alternate from Minicrate.
By Parameter Press. The model you were working on last week?
Well, I assembled it last week.
Oh, that's okay. I'm working on the tanks that I started painting last week.
Oh, the Red Knight tanks, yeah.
Yep.
Have they progressed? Were you able to paint at all this week?
No.
No.
Well, have they progressed? Yes, a little bit. I finished blacklining everything. Since they definitely have a kind of cartoony style to them, going for that kind of look. So they're all blacklined. And now I'm just trying to add highlights. Which is going terribly. Well, here's the scoop. If you're edge highlighting, and you're trying to use the side of your brush to do it, to make nice clean lines, one of the things that's required for that to work is a well-defined sharp edge on the model.
Yeah, and that doesn't really exist on the Relic Knights models. Yeah. It's a freehand edge highlights.
Yeah, and as you know, I have tremors.
Yeah, that's perfect for freehanding.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I don't know how the heck I paint at all.
Pure power.
Yeah, pretty much. I had a good laugh at the GB tournament. Sorry, Steve. I know I'm talking about the tournament. I should save it for the show. But it's just because it's relevant. And the guy I was playing in the second round, I warned him that I suffered from tremors. And, you know, I don't try to be clumsy on purpose on the pitch. But I have a habit of knocking into stuff. And, you know, he was like, oh, yeah, okay, there's no problem. He's like, I do the same thing. I'm like, okay. So then we're playing, and, you know, I'm trying to do a maneuver that it's going to result in someone dying. So I try to play it super clean. I got steppers and proxies and all these widgets out on the table. And I proceed to hit the piece of terrain I'm standing next to like three times.
And move knock
over, knock over my model, knock over his model. Like, just. And in the end, I just packed up all the widgets and gave up. And, he took it really well. All he could do was laugh. Because I was trying so hard
to not bump anything.
Yeah. And I think, to be honest, I think the more I try, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
Because I become more conscious about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So all to say, I'm working on those little tanks. And if I get through these really quickly, which I'm just doing some edge highlights, so I probably will, I will work on some blacksmiths for Guild Ball. Because they are sitting right here. And I must admit, playing in that tournament this weekend kind of rekindled my Guild Ball flame.
Playing and playing new opponents always help. So.
Well, I'm playing good opponents that are nice, right? So new opponents who are a pleasure to play make you want to play. beating Steve also always makes me want to play. As Steve's Kryptonite strikes again. But we'll save that for the show. What did you say you're working on? Oh, you're working on the Pharaoh Warlord, right?
Yeah, the alternate Warlord from the mini crate, the female one.
Yeah, I still say she's one of the nicest models they've done.
Yeah, I agree. I realize now that I should probably have painted the arms separate, because they are really in the way and she has a ton of details. So I tried to paint in a single piece, but this time I should probably have glued them on after.
That's an interesting point. Do you usually paint in a single piece?
Yeah, most of the time.
I thought I was the only heathen from our group that did that.
Yeah, except if there's a giant shield that's in the way or something really crazy.
Well, see, I tend to view that as just less stuff to have to paint.
Now, it depends how the shield is positioned, because usually you'll see stuff behind, either from the top or from the side. It depends each minis. But I don't remember which piece I did last that I kept multi-part. Last time I painted something in pieces, except the big planes, where I do airbrushing. It's just easier for, instead of masking, like the planes and the tanks, where the piece is so big that it's just easier to paint in separate parts. But outside of those, I don't remember.
Masking, you say?
Yeah. It's so much fun to do.
I wouldn't know.
No, I know. You're
I'm religiously
opposed. Pretty crazy with your airbrushing.
Well, it's surprising too, because again, the tremors, right?
Yeah.
But somehow I'm really lucky with the airbrush. I won't call it skill, because that implies talent. I will call it luck. And leave it at that. These tanks are terrible. Like, the, some of the stuff I was trying to highlight, I was like, okay, this could work. But then I get to an edge, and the edge is not there. It's all rounded and, you know, droopy. And so I'm trying to paint a sharp line on an edge that's anything but sharp.
Yeah. Yeah, the models are bad. That's the other thing I painted this week. I painted the Cordelia Clean. I think I was working on her during the last cast. Another Relic 9 model. And she's done. But, like, I tried to push her a bit because she's a main character in the fluff and she's a bigger piece. And she flies, so she has a smoke plumes under her. So it's a standout model. But, the casting detail is so not good.
I mean, I haven't seen the model in person. I just saw the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
From the pictures, she looks quite nice. Looks like you did an excellent job with her.
I'm happy with the result, but I have her next to me right here. And there's a bunch of places where I just, like, I push the model. So even if I cut corner, she looks good. But there's stuff like the face, some of the air. There's part of the armor that I didn't realize were different parts. So I painted the same color until I started doing more detail and realized it should be a different set.
Yeah, I have done that on Relic's next one. Things tend to flow together, right?
Yeah.
Because nothing is clearly defined. So I get that makes it challenging.
Yeah, I'm happy with the result in the end. Kind of chrome I did on the gun came out pretty good.
Yeah, that came out excellent.
It came out better in the picture, I must be honest.
Well, the pictures make it look phenomenal.
Yeah, usually my own pictures are pretty bad, but this time I think the picture is better than the model.
I'll have to be the judge of that next time I see you.
Yeah, for sure. Not that she looks bad, but I think she looks better.
Better in the picture than in reality.
Yeah.
Oh, I got plenty of those models too, buddy. It happens.
I remember your Juggernaut.
My Juggernaut?
Your Fantasy Corn Juggernaut Rider or something like that.
Oh.
The picture made him look amazing.
Yeah, I don't quite get that, but I mean, he did look pretty good.
Yeah. Didn't you get tons of comments about that model?
Yeah, that was the only model I think I posted on CMON ever. And, I mean, you know, it didn't get crazy high ratings. But it got like an 8, which for
CMON... That's pretty good.
Well, that's just it, you know. For something I did for tabletop in an afternoon, it was quite good.
I think I have only one or two 8s out of my maybe 50 pictures I uploaded there.
Yeah, you see, the problem with your stuff, Antoine, is it's not GW stuff.
It sure doesn't help. I know.
And I'm not trying to say that you should be painting GW stuff. That's not the point. The point is that that's what has the fan base and the followers, and those are the people that vote.
Yep.
Whoops.
Did you play any games? Well, you already mentioned that you had a tournament, so...
Yeah, and aside from the tournament, I didn't really play much or anything. It just didn't work out. I was supposed to play some games last week of Guild Ball, and I had trouble finding games. And at the last second, I think I had a game, and then my wife got sick. And that was the end of my gaming night.
Yeah.
So that ended that. And that was the breaks, right? Stuff happens, especially when you have a family.
Especially.
Well, you know it's true.
Right? Yeah, like, for sure. I didn't get to play for about the same reasons. Timing doesn't work. The big gaming night is on Wednesdays, but on Wednesdays I have classes for my son, so I need to find a way around it, and it didn't work out last week. So, no gaming for me.
Yeah, I'm not sure kickboxing and your son is an excellent mix, by the way. I'm sure he has a blast.
Mm-hmm.
I am just unsure about the wisdom in this.
Well, it's a martial art. They learn control with that, and that's something he needs. Not the fighting part, but the self-control and rigor, I think, is something he requires, so it can only help.
I you know, my dad enrolled me in martial arts when I was a kid for the same reason, because of the self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know it's hard to believe, but as a young child, I had a really, really, really bad temper. And I had very little sense of self-preservation. So if you were 6 years older than me and irritating me, well, I would jump you anyway.
Taylor doesn't have that. Taylor is super afraid of everything. So at least we have that on our side.
So my dad enrolled me in martial arts to teach me control. I can only say that was a failed notion. All it really meant is that when I lost my temper, I could really hurt people.
Yeah, we're not there yet with him. For him, right now, it's still just a fun activity.
Yeah, I have to say, though, I did enjoy martial arts. If I was not old, fat, and had two busted knees, I would probably go back to it. So, it could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was looking at him either in that class or judo, which is did last year. And in particular, the judo class, because they were doing they had some parents in the class too, with the kids. And that looked fun.
Judo can be very fun. I know a lot of people have taken it over the years, a lot of kids who have taken it. I have a friend who's very, very active in the judo community. He coaches and goes with his kids and stuff. The thing is, though, I think in the case of a child that's high energy, something like kickboxing, where you have more, I don't want to say it's more physical, because that makes it sound like judo is nothing, but I think kickboxing practice is more energy burning.
Yeah.
So for a kid that's high energy and you want to calm him down and you want to, you know, give him an outlet for the energy, I think the kickboxing is probably a better outlet.
Yeah, that's what we've seen up to now too. And also, it's a bad mix. I have a high energy kid that's afraid to be touched and hit. But so kickboxing is perfect right now because they don't do fight. They only strike on targets.
Let's say they kick pads.
Yeah, kick pads or dummies. While in judo, he was already doing throws against other classmates.
Yeah.
And he didn't like that.
Yeah, that's unfortunate. Yeah, judo, yeah, because of the nature of judo, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to practice on people.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, you know, there's just no way around it. So if your child is scared of being struck or of striking someone, because that's also another factor. Like, I had a thing for a while where I was afraid to hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
There goes my paintbrush. My floor now has a nice gray spot on it. And so do my pants, apparently. But you get to a point where, you know, if you... Yeah, I really hurt someone at one point, and it made me afraid to hurt people. So that caused problems for me, too, of a different nature. But yeah, so that's it for our martial arts podcast.
Your parenting of the North.
Yep. Yeah. No, I'm not there yet. I don't have to worry about kickboxing and judo. Well, actually, my five-year-old could possibly do something like
that. Oh, she could do that right now.
They actually teach her karate at daycare.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cute, I won't lie. Of course, she comes home wanting to karate chop everything.
But, for sure.
You know, look what I learned how to do. Daddy, put out your hand. No.
It's better yours than your Lucas.
Yeah, I suppose it's better mine than the baby's. Yeah, that's true. Though the baby takes no guff from no one. They warned me last week that there's a kid that's actually younger than him, but quite a bit bigger. And I guess that kid likes to push Lucas around, and he did it to Lucas, and I guess Lucas grabbed him by the face and bowled him right over. It was like on top of him. And the daycare has to keep the kids separated there. And part of me was like, oh, no, that's terrible. Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm like, oh, is everyone okay? And the other part of me was like, yeah.
Yeah.
So I probably won't win any parenting awards. So throw that out there. Well, I am my father's son, I suppose. All right. So painting.
Oh, so something else. Just because we were mentioning the classes and the low hobby we've been doing. One thing I've been doing during the classes, I'm not taking part. I'm a taxi. So I bring my sketch pad and I've been doing some sketches for a near old terrain.
Oh, nice. That's the game you had that cool hot air balloon you built for, right?
Yes.
That is an amazing piece of terrain. I love that.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be able to finish that soon. Because the balloon went with the building, but that building has been on pause for a while. But now I have the material to cast the roof on the building. So I'll be able to cast a piece and finish the building and paint it.
Does that have to go somewhere for like a Adepticon or something?
I want to bring some for Adepticon for the game I'm planning with Nick from Skirmish Supremacy, but it's not required to have that piece or anything. It was just painting a gang and bring some terrain. There's no set stuff to use.
But that building is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won't bring that building to Adepticon once the balloon's attached. It's just going to be too fragile and hard to transport.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't know how we're going to fit everything in the car. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, hee-hee, there's going to be no room for anything.
We'll have to limit ourselves.
Well, I mean, I'm I'm not bringing that much. I'm trying to decide if I bring War Machine or not.
Mm-hmm.
But we've got Judgment. What else we got? Guild Ball.
That we need prepared stuff. I think that's it. The other event we have, the material is supposed to be provided. Yeah. The other game by Steamforge.
Oh, that one with the thing there.
Yeah, that one.
God tier?
Yes, God tier.
I had to think long and hard, Antoine. It's like that game with the stuff.
Well,
it's running a Kickstarter for.
To be honest, we need to check back because I said supposed to be provided, but there were no details, and I don't think this Kickstarter is supposed to be done by then. So that's why I assume they will provide material. But that's something we should check back on. It might have had more details.
I think I read somewhere that Sean Dooley of Steamforge had put up all the details finally.
Okay, so after the show, I'll need to go double check that.
That'd be funny, Sean. Hey, we're ready to play. Did you bring your stuff?
Well, we might just have Fred freed 4 hours in our day.
Yeah, because it's like a tournament or something, isn't it?
Yep, it's an intro tournament. It's 4 or 5 hours, something like that.
This is the DipCon I've done the most gaming at, I think. Or it will be. I always bring models everywhere and I never end up playing anything. Too busy blah blah blahing. I'm a talker, not a player.
Won't you miss talking more?
We'll try to talk and play at the same time.
I'm sure you can do that.
And I guess we'll try drinking and playing too at the same time. Just to, yeah.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's been a long time since you and I have been away to a con of that magnitude. And with Yom and everything there. Should be good fun. Quite looking forward to it. Even if our schedule is going to be kind of insane.
Yeah, I was looking back at it and I might remove a couple of events from my list. Well, free time, and it will also give me more time to help GV at the boot.
What's the name of his company again?
M3 Studio.
And they make some cool terrain, don't they?
Yeah, they make terrain mostly for 40k or any other dark gothic sci-fi games. So 40k.
Yeah, I was going to say it's pretty much 40k, right?
There could be some Warzone. Depending on what you play.
Do people still play Warzone? I know it had a resurrection.
Yeah, but that died last year. It was canceled officially last year, if I remember correctly. That's something Jordan commented on last show when we were speaking about dead games. That's the one he commented on. So,
Jordan.
Jordan signed up from Enduring a Blink on their podcast. Well, sad to say, Pod Faded podcast.
Oh, from
the network.
Yeah, not two World Geeks. No. That's the other one.
That's his co-host.
Yeah.
Yeah, drawing a blank on it.
I should know this. Because I put those tags in at the end of every show. Oh, well. It's gone. You know, folks, the joys of having children is that you never sleep. The joys of never sleeping is that your memory is practically non-existent at some points. Case in point, well, that's nothing to do with my memory, but, you know, fun parenting facts. I fell asleep in a conversation with my boss today at work.
Always good.
Yep. Right while he was talking to me, looking at me, I closed my eyes to think for a second, and I was gone. Like, literally, a second.
Yeah, I had a meeting today, and that was rough. So I understand you perfectly.
Yeah.
And the podcast was All Us Geeks.
All Us Geeks. I was like, I know it has Geeks in the name, and it's not Geeks of the North, because that's us. At least I know our podcast name. The way I feel today, that's actually a plus. I'm finding mess ups on my model. That always sucks. Looks like I slipped. Now I could try to fix that with the appropriate color. Or I could just feather in some black and try to hide it and pretend it's a shadow. And since I don't have any of the appropriate color out in the palette, I'll let you guys guess what I'm doing. Perfect. No one can tell.
Speaking of colors.
Ooh, segue. I like it. So, we were trying to think of a topic for today. Antoine suggested that we talk about ways we kind of track our painting projects. Ways we keep track of the colors we use and you know how we paint the models so that down the line, we can paint more models this way. Antoine, I will let you start since it was your topic.
Mm-hmm. So, first thing, I will go with experience and not what I recommend. So, I don't.
Yep. Yep.
I once tried to note on a paper what I did for a model. I did one squad of the army and never went back to it. I installed some apps, but didn't keep using them. So, overall, sadly, and that bites me once in a while, I don't take note of it. And I should. I really should.
Yeah, yeah. Well, if it makes you feel better, Antoine, I am not much better than you. I actually use Google Docs, and I create a doc for whatever army I'm painting, because usually it's what I'm doing. You know, individual models, I don't really care, because I'm working on them while I'm working on them, and then I don't need to keep track of what color.
Yeah, for single models, you don't need that. It's for force, factions,
yeah,
small or big armies.
I keep track for example, I have a Google document for like my fisherman team for Guild Ball, which comes in handy because I've had to touch up stuff a couple times or, you know, paint new models for the force as stuff comes out for the team. Or I've, you know, lost a piece off a model because I dropped it in the street in the middle of the dark. And by the time the replacement came in, and I actually replaced the part, it was like a year later. So I had to refer back to that document for what colors I'd used to paint. But that's the other thing. It's more important to track if you're a mixer.
Yeah, that's my problem. Because right? I mix everything.
If you've got, you know, 50 jars of paint, all Citadel, and you use those same 50 jars of paint, and, you know, then you can look at a color and go, oh, that's that color, that's this color.
Now, especially if you follow the standard, like, base, layer, shadow, stuff like that GW recommend.
Yeah.
You can just follow that official recipe. And
yeah, if you're doing the base highlight to a wash technique.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. But if you're doing a lot of mixing, it becomes important to track these colors. And my Guild Ball stuff, I tried to limit my palette when I did it. So there's a lot of mixing. And it just helps me, you know, keep an idea of what I did to get certain colors. So my document looks like, you know, there's a document for each team or each thing I'm keeping track of. And it'll say, for dark blues, it's these colors mixed this way. For the light blues, it's this. The highlight was this. You know, flesh tones are mixes of these colors. And I found it works pretty well. It's not a step-by-step guide. I don't need to really do that. It's more just a reference so I can go back and look at the catalog of colors I used on a certain set of models.
That's pretty good already.
Well, that's 9/10 of what you need it for, right?
Yep.
But I'm not good at doing it. So, you know, like I have for my fisherman.
You've not done it for your
for the blacksmiths. Nope.
No, and that's why last time you were painting one, you said, it doesn't look at all like my other models.
Yeah, but that's for another reason, and I'll be honest, I can't explain it. Because that one, I'm sure I used the same colors. At first, I made a boo-boo, and I had the wrong gray. And I realized, like, shortly after, so I just rebased it. I was doing color blocking, right? So it's not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But then, as I went on, I don't know how I messed up. I think it's also because I wasn't using a wet palette, so there was less water in the paint, so the blends are different. And then I also glazed, and I think the glaze was not as transparent, so it made for a problem.
That's entirely possible.
But yeah, my tone is entirely different, and the first two models I did are much more blue-gray than the last one I did. So still look good, it's just odd. Whoops.
Next to one another, they look different.
Luckily, though, it's a veteran Cinder, and she doesn't have a lot of armor showing. I mean, she has a breastplate or whatever, but she's not wearing full plate. So there's a lot of leather, there's a lot of other colors to kind of break it up. So I don't think, knock on wood, I don't think it'll look that bad with the other models.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it'll really show as much. So that's my hope anyway. We'll have to see.
So that's what we are doing. What other options are there?
Well, you know, this is the age of technology, Antoine.
Mm-hmm. Well, we should probably finish by that because it's the most interesting.
Okay. Well, then I have no idea where you're going with this. So. Well,
I mentioned taking notes on a piece of paper. That's probably too random. But I've heard people having color notepads.
Oh, like exercise books almost.
Yeah.
Of stuff. Yeah.
And they know the recipe. And some even put swatch of their color, just a dab of their mix while they're painting to have reference on the paper.
Oh, I can see that working.
So I've seen people use that or mention it online. And I think it's the basic one, but it also have a nice plus of the reference color.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like the idea that you can just put a color swatch. I think Meg does something like that. Seems to me I used to see her do, like, show pictures of her book. And she's like a sample blend on the page, like from what color to what color.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, details. I might be mistaken, but I don't know. Yeah, I can see that working very well.
Yeah, that's it. A nice idea. After that, I think you don't really have a choice, and it's up to technology. The simplest form is what you've been doing, like having a generic note taker, like a Google Docs or.
Well, one of the nice things about Google Docs is it's accessible from anywhere, right?
Yep.
So you can get it from a friend's computer, from your phone, from whatever. So you can always, you know, if you're painting somewhere not at home.
You always have access.
You still have access to everything, right? So it's fairly functional.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a Word document on your computer home is only useful if you're sitting there at your computer at home.
Yeah.
That's important to note. But yeah, and then you have the purpose-built solutions, right?
Yeah.
The phone apps. And there are some really, really cool phone apps now for tracking all this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What was the one you mentioned for Android, Antoine?
Yeah, that's the sad thing is there's no apps that are really cross-browser. The only one that's cross-browser, but cross-device, is the Citadel one, and it doesn't do exactly everything we need. On the Android side, the nice one is PaintTrack by Courageous Octopus.
With the name of Courageous Octopus, you know it's going to be good.
Yeah, and it does everything you need. You have like over 20 lines of paints from which you can check your collections. They have color tools. You can pick a color and will give you either from all range, within range, or within your own collection, what colors are complementary, tertiary, everything you need to set a scheme. And they also do sets. So you can say, like you've mentioned, I've been working on my fisherman. So you could note down every other color you've been using for your fisherman. And you can do multiple sets. Some of those options are behind a paywall. You need to pay for the license. But some of those are like the collection setting and the basic color tools are free. The collection sets, those you need the full app. And getting the full app also removes ads, which is always a plus. And it doesn't cost much.
Probably a $5 app.
Something like that. It's $3 or $4 paying for it. I'll check that while you can talk maybe about what you found on the Apple side.
So on the Apple side, I found a few interesting things. I think the best known one, and one of the first apps actually launched for this purpose, is one called Paint My Minis. I believe I got that right. Yeah, Paint My Minis.
So I'll stop you right there, just before you continue in it. It's $3.89 Canadian, so it's super cheap.
Yeah, that's like 45 cents American or something, right?
Yeah, something like that.
So that's a darn good price.
And another thing they do, and I've seen multiple apps do that, like wishlists. You can mark which paint you want or which paints you're out of. And when you go to the store, you can just check your list and pick what you're missing.
Yes, you can keep it tracks your collection of paints.
Mm-hmm.
Because let's face it, miniature painters collect paints.
Yeah.
No one needs the sheer amount of paint we have. If you think you do, you're just lying to yourself. I mean, I know I don't need 200 jars of paint, but I'm sure I have 200 jars of paint. Here, I'm just going to rinse out my brush so I can talk a little bit more without having to worry about stuff drying in my ferrule here. And also, I want to get my app store open. So I don't actually own these apps. So I know I have played around with Paint My Minis before. I don't know if it used to be they had a free trial, and now they no longer do. Because now it's a pay app. Of course, my phone has crashed. just because I wanted it to work.
For sure. It's works.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So Paint My Minis is $5.49 Canadian. It lets you do like collections like you were talking about. So you can pick, you can make an entry for a model, a faction or whatever, and then track everything you did. And then you can break down by area. So you could say make an entry for a certain color of leather, right? You say like a dark brown leather. So you can click on that under that model, and then there you get a breakdown of all the colors you used and how you blended it, and you can put your blends into the app and what the percentages were and stuff.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And the app also has a color wheel that you can access for your projects. You can kind of get an idea of you know, what colors are complementary and everything. It's a fairly robust, you know, miniature painting app. I think Metzger Fontaine talked about it at one point years ago. And, it seems to have a lot of nice features. And it certainly has a polished look. Now, great radio while I look up the name of the second one. Okay. So the second one I wanted to talk about was Army Colors. Sorry, I'm spelling like a Canadian. This is going to be a problem. Because Apple ain't going to find it with that U in there. So Army Colors is a cheaper app, $2.79, and it lets you basically make a project and then list the colors you did, and I think it also keeps track of all your supplies, so you can put your paints in, your brushes, and your what paints you have as well. So that's pretty good. I don't know what it supports. Again, I didn't buy the app. I was actually going to buy the apps so I could do some more in-depth, looking at them. But my credit card got frauded and I had to cancel it. So I don't have a card linked to my phone right now. So that was the end of that. Army Colors tracks the new Citadel line, the old Citadel line, Privateer Press, Game Color and Model Color from Vallejo, Rackham Paints, Reaper Master Series Paints, Army Painter Paints, and Cote d'Alme. So that's kind of interesting. And I think at $2.79, it's a good value, much like the app you described, Antoine.
Mm-hmm.
My last app I want to mention, it doesn't actually track projects like that or keep inventory, really. but it is super useful and it's free. And it is called Paint Picker. And again, you'll have to use this in conjunction with another tool, like Google Docs or whatever. But it is really cool. So you can go into its settings and you pick from Citadel, Vallejo Model Color, Vallejo Game Color, P3, Army Painter, Scale 75, and you toggle on which paints you have access to. Specific colors, but ranges. And then you can also select if you have the washes or inks or whatever else. And if you have other special effects paints or whatever. And then it presents you with a color wheel. And you've got a color wheel where you can select a color, and you've got a brightness bar where you can adjust the brightness of the color. And then from that point, it dynamically creates a list of paints that will work. So I randomly selected an area on the wheel kind of between blue and green. So, and I used I've only got P3 paint selected right now. And I've dimmed my brightness a little bit. So it's given me Arcane Blue as my primary color. And then the list of a suggested complementary color, suggested split complementary colors, suggested triadic colors, and then tetradic colors as well, and analogous colors that you can use as well. So it's like a super color wheel where it gives you not just the colors that would work, but the specific paints from specific paint ranges that you can use. So you don't have to go, okay, well, it says this shade of green would work. Was that this color or is that that color?
Yeah, the other thing is Paint Rack does something similar, and it's super fun.
Yeah. And like I said, this is free. So I think it's a great complementary tool.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it doesn't track what you've used for certain projects, I think it can help a lot of painters. Yeah, I really quite like it. And can you... Oh, let me just see something here. I'm giving this 5-star on iTunes. Go, go, go. Okay. So if I click this, okay. So if you click on the suggested paints, it'll take you to a new page. And this is also very neat. You can tell it what other things to show. So if available, you can select show me nearest paints from other manufacturers, suggested spot paints, and matching paints. So it does a lot of really cool color theory for you. If you're like me and your color theory is stupid,
that can be a pretty handy app. We're not all yom with the... Photoshop
in our heads. Yeah. I just picture everything. Yeah, screw you, yo. I hate people with talent. They'll never understand what it's like to be me.
Yeah, you have to work for your stuff.
Hey, models don't get this ugly by accident, you know. it's skill and effort. Anyone can paint quality paint jobs. I have to work to make my shit this ugly. Again, I'm being silly. I do fine. My models look good. Actually, I got a compliment at the event this weekend on my painting, which I was quite shocked because the gentleman who made the compliment said something to the effect of, the painting's really nice. Someday maybe I'll be able to paint like that. And what shocked me about it was I thought this gentleman's models were better than mine.
Okay.
He had a much better eye for color than I do. So his models pop better on the table. And I thought his team looked very, very nice.
So you mean you use something with more than 50% darkness in it? Unlike you, who always pick dark colors and nothing bright?
Yes. Actually, he used a bright yellow and a bright red on his hunters.
Okay.
Yeah. Almost clown colors, right? But he pulled it off because they were used sparingly, right? So just like pops of color.
Yep.
Along with more traditional browns, whatever, for leathers. And I think there were some greens in there. And again, greens, yellows, reds all go together. So everything played well with each other. And it looked really, really nice on the table. And when I asked him actually what he meant by that, because I point out, like, you know, I think your models look nicer than mine. He's like, well... You know, my models are nice, but your blends are smoother. Your painting is cleaner than mine.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear to God, that is the first time anyone has ever accused me of having smooth blends and or clean paint jobs. So I was pretty flattered to say the least. So, yeah. That was my little pep talk for the weekend.
That's good. It's fun when it happens.
Yeah.
You sure you wasn't talking about the Yom Signar?
I was going to say, it's twice this year that that someone has complimented me on my painting. And to be honest, my union are quite nice, but I didn't spend that much time on them. That was my usual 3 hours per model maximum rule.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking my blacksmiths will definitely get more positive commentary.
I think so. The first one you've done, I think you're up to three now.
Yeah, I'm almost done my third.
Yeah, they look really nice.
Yeah, again, I tried to go for brighter colors, you know, because someone keeps complaining that everything I do is super dark and muted.
No idea what you're talking
about. Well, that someone's actually me. I spend most of my time. You know, and what kills me, and God bless his soul, is every time I see my buddy James Wapple, and he comments about, you know, how he likes my muted colors and how nice he thinks they look. and I have to chuckle, right? Because he's a paint teacher. Like, teaching is in his soul, right? That's, he loves teaching people how to paint and how to, and so he tries to find the good in everything. And it's true. He probably would never, ever paint in the muted tones that I paint in because he knows they don't look good. You know, he's like, yeah, I try to paint muted, but everything I do always ends up like being super bright and popping. I'm like, because your brain, your subconscious is fixing it as you're doing it. Yeah. Which is okay.
Yeah. I think that's it for the apps. I don't remember seeing other stuff. I've not looked for online programs. I've only looked at apps.
Yeah. Well, again, an online program is only useful if you're sitting at home or in your studio or yes, whatever, painting.
Now it's all apps.
Well, I mean, I suppose that's not true either. We have mobile phones that have, you know,
websites maybe, but
yeah. You know, unless it's a website running Flash, in which case you're probably SOL. Because I ran into one of those this week and I couldn't figure out why my phone wouldn't display it. And I remembered, all right, my phone doesn't support Flash. Yeah, I guess that's it. How's your progress today, Antoine?
I'm almost done with the silver, so all the armor.
Oh, nice. You're doing True Metallic, right?
Yes.
I know that's usually your style.
That's what I've done with my other pharaohs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I meant. I know you're more than capable of doing NMM.
More than capable is maybe pushing it.
No.
But
I'm not saying you're going to dethrone the European masters of miniature painting here. I'm just saying you're capable. You have a much better understanding of light than I do. And you have much smoother blends, which is a key component to NMM. That being said, I you know, True Metallic metals are tough to execute well, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
I paint my NMM and my TMM.
TMM.
Exactly the same way.
Yep, and that's the sign of good painting. There should be no difference. Because NMM is just using non-metallic colors to emulate reflected light, right?
Mm-hmm.
And TMM, you're doing the same thing, but with actually reflective colors.
A lot of the work I do when I do TMM is going over with non-metallic paint for the shadow.
That is a excellent point that people need to understand. Is that when you're doing metallics, you know, people try to shade with metallics, right? They make some, they look for black metallics or they look for super dark metallics and they try to shade with it. And you have to understand there are no shiny shadows. So if something's in shadow, you should not be using metallic paint to try to shade it.
Mm-hmm. Usually I keep some metallics.
Yeah,
but and then I add flat black and flat brown and glaze with that.
Yeah.
Until I glaze with pure flat for the final shadow.
Yeah. Which is the deepest, darkest shadows, right? Mm-hmm. At that point, there's no metallic.
Nope.
I'm not saying you can't have darker metallics, like you can't have a gradient in your metallics.
Oh, no, I agree with you.
You should, right?
Yeah.
But your deepest, darkest shadows should not be metallic at all. There should be no metallic paints used for that, because there are no shiny shadows. And that was also a piece of wisdom from Meg Maples. And then I had forgotten about that statement for years and years. Well, years and years, 2 years or whatever. And then one day I was painting something metallic, and I'm like, this doesn't look right, and I don't know why. And then that popped into my head, her telling me that, and I was like, that is why this doesn't look right. So I went back with my non-metallic paints and darkened and deepened the shadows, and it, like, all of a sudden everything just came together.
Nice epiphany.
Well, I mean, there's so many different painting techniques.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard. And I find, I don't know if I mentioned this on the show or when we were talking off the show, but I find I regress if I don't keep painting.
Yeah, just last week you said that to me.
Yeah, I don't know if that was on the show, though. I'll say it again.
No, I think it was in person.
Like, if I take 2 weeks off painting a model, I come back to it, and I find that I'm back to my old days of, base coat, edge highlight wash, because I've just forgotten everything else, and I have to, like, remind myself, for lack of a better term. Like, you know, you're supposed to be painting like this. Oh, yeah, yeah. And you have to do this. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you don't have to relearn it, but you have to remember get to back in the groove. And do it again the right way.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Get my groove back. Yeah, I don't think you ever really lose artistic ability. Like anything, like any skill that you spend hours and hours and hours doing, whether it's riding a bike or painting a miniature, the skills get rusty. You know, like if you don't ice skate for 20 years, you get back on the ice, it's not like you'll have forgotten how to skate. But your body will have to remember how to skate, right?
Oh, yes.
And it's the same idea here. All right.
So do we close that with some news?
Sure.
Okay, so I have three items for our listener this week. First one by our friend at Miracle Collectibles. So Rico.
Yay, Miracle. They make great stuff.
We've not mentioned them for a while since we've stopped doing the Purely News show. So he has the Nelly, which is a female pirate. It's a bust, 1/10 scale. She's simple, but I like the pose, and I like the iguana instead of a more usual animal
parrot?
For a pirate. Pirate.
Let me just take a look at her. I do like her. I like her face. I find she has a very natural face. She's not dressed like a hooker. No, but that's okay. And there's nothing wrong with that if you like that style of model. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to knock it. What I am saying, though, is that we get a lot of that.
It seems most of what we get in miniatures.
And I understand, right? The target audience, mostly mm-hmm. male, or a lot of males, not mostly, maybe for those pieces, but a lot of males. Anyway, sorry, I sidetracked this. Yeah, I think it's really cool. I like the iguana peeking over her shoulder, like her shoulder, like you said, and holding the rum bottle.
The iguana is fun because it also, it curls around in her back, and the tails go under her head, so it gives volume to the air.
Yep, and it's an opportunity to put some kind of bright colors on there and have something like a not an additional focal point, but something that pops on the model, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a different color. It's a nice, shiny, different element. Cool piece. It's $58 US with a flat $8 shipping. And it will be live by the time we are publishing the show. So.
That's an excellent price for something that size. You said 1/10 scale?
Yeah, 1/10.
That means it's huge, doesn't it?
Yeah, 3 inches tall.
Well, huge for huge for a miniature bust.
Yeah, for a miniature bust. Yeah. That was the first piece. Yeah. The second piece is by the name I noted. Lux Tentor miniature, and it's Gerard the Pig. This is a 54 millimeter miniature of pigmen carrying the head of the wolf and having some piglets with him. It's the miniature is ugly. It's not badly sculpted. It's a man pig. The face, it's super well sculpted. It's just not something that's attractive to look at. But it's a really well done piece, and the two piglets are cute.
Yeah, do you think it's just because there's two piglets and the big one, do you think it's three little pigs?
Yeah, I think so. Especially with the wolf head.
Yeah, yeah.
And the gun, so.
And the gun? What does the gun have to do with three little pigs? What three little pigs did you read?
No, but with the wolf head, he looks like a mix of one of the pigs and a hunter.
Yeah, okay.
Protecting the two piglets.
The gun,
you know?
The gun, that cornerstone piece of the three little pig storyline.
Yeah, for sure. You don't have that in your versions?
No, the Anglophone version doesn't have
the gun.
The gun.
No. Yeah, it's probably just a translation mistake.
Oh, goodness, Antoine. So, I love our conversations.
Nice model. It's 30 euros. The shipping will be free for the first 100 orders. So if you want to order, you will need to get to the Lux Tentor site. We will have the link in the show notes. You need to buy by PayPal. It's not a web store. It's a bit more involved. You need to send
money.
It's like
a garage kit, right?
Yeah, it's a garage kit.
Message him, send him the money by PayPal.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice one. And yeah, lastly,
a lot of people don't like doing that though, right? Because they're always worried that.
Sure. But you can ask first and he can send you a quote. So you'll pay for an item that way and you'll have the PayPal protection.
Yeah.
There's always a way to make it work.
Yeah, yeah.
The last news item is the Black Garrett's Band. So it's a line of 10 new miniatures by Redbox Game, sculptor Trey Manor. Manor. So those are 28 millimeter fighter, fantasy fighter. So you have a swordman, a mage, some rangers, different fighters with different and weapon. We were talking today about Frostgrave, and I think they would do a pretty nice Frostgrave Warband, or the other game by the same author, the new Rangers of the Shadow Depth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The piratey version?
No, not Archipelago. He has a new version where you play one ranger. It can be played solo. A ranger and his crew.
Oh, right. Sorry. Yes. We talked about that
one. The other one is a Ghost Archipelago, I think, the pirate version. That's a Rangers of Shadow Depth or something similar to that.
Rangers
name.
Of Shadow Deep, yeah.
Yeah. So, really nice miniatures. They're $9 each, or there's a 100 limited set of the 10 for $70. So that's a $20 rebate.
It's a good deal.
Yeah, good deal. And really nicely sculpted miniatures, good pose on them. They're dynamic without being crazy posed.
Without being ninjas?
Yeah.
That's always nice, too. As much as I love the fighting, dancing, plate mail wearing, whatever.
Yeah, we don't need all to be corn berserkers dancing.
You know, someday GW is going to redo those models.
Maybe.
They've been threatening to do that for 20 years now, right? So, someday it's going to happen. And then watch out. I'll be playing Corn Berserkers.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the three items I wanted to talk about.
Excellent. Well, I just realized I've been facing away from my wife for the last 10 minutes. So that'll be some interesting editing. crap. Sorry, yeah. Sorry, I got sidetracked by my own stupidity. Yeah, it's been fun as always, Antoine. I really enjoy doing these shows like this. Listeners, if you like our kind of freeform blah blah shows, let us know, because we never get any feedback aside from Mark, who's very gracious in his feedback and support.
And Jordan.
And Jordan, yes. We don't even get Mike DeSpieler anymore.
He likes...
No, that's not true. No, that's not true. He commented not that long ago.
Yeah.
Sorry, Mike. I'm slandering your name, good sir. I still have those models for you. Someday we'll get together and I'll give them to you. My poor AT-43 models need a home. That's not this one.
You still have that?
Oh, yeah.
You don't have Carmens, right? I think we already talked about that.
No, I don't have Carmens. I had the starter box for the Therian? Is that what they're called? Like the stuff that came in the two-faction starter. And then I have a bunch of UNA stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Probably most of it, except for maybe the last couple of releases.
Yeah, that's one I never tried, and I would be interested to.
Well, I'd heard good things about it, you know?
So you have multiple armies but never played?
Well, no. I have, like, 10 models for one faction because it came in the starter with the rulebook and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then I wanted the UNA faction.
Okay.
So I bought everything for that all in one go. And then the game got discontinued and died, like, a week later.
Excellent timing there.
I always have excellent timing for these things, Antoine. I have just come to accept it as the way of things for me. I got nothing. Like, it's just the way it is. All right, buddy. I think we've beaten this horse.
Yep. If you have other ideas about how to track your paints, or comments about our news item, or anything else you want us to know or to cover, contact us. Paul is going to give all the options just in a few minutes during the outro. And I'll see you next time, Paul.
All right. Bye, Antoine.
Bye, geeks.
Thanks for listening to Geeks of the North. If you want to contact us, you can email us at geeksofthenorth@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/geeksofthenorth, or follow us on Twitter at geeksofthenorth. You can follow me, Paul, at PRFilio, Antoine at Eltonio Berg, Steve at B_Steve, and if you really feel the need, I guess you can follow Yom. He's at Yomasta. Breaks and outro music by LaDrave. You can listen to them at ladrave.bandcamp.com. See you next time, geeks.
Thank you for checking out a United Geeks Network family member. If you enjoyed it and are looking for other online media with a geek culture slant, head over to UnitedGeeksNetwork.com, where you will find All Us Geeks, a podcast that discusses board games, movies, television, comics, Kickstarter, and many other forms of geek culture. The United Geeks Network. You can broadcast your geekiness at UnitedGeeksNetwork.com.